Hello and welcome to Insight. I'm Ali, and back with me, as she is every week, well, for the next month anyway, until we break for Christmas, it's Charlie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's warming up for summer here, and that always makes me happy.
Yeah, it's terrible weather here, and now I get to haul a baby out in the cold.
I don't mean to rub it in, but yeah, it's nice and warm here. This week, we're talking about another case from Australia, and it's the case involving a young child. There are also themes of child abuse, so we understand that these episodes aren't for everyone, and some might find it distressing. Listener discretion is advised. Today, we are talking about the apparent abduction and murder of a 14-month-old toddler from a country town in Victoria. In June of 1997, Jaden Leskey was left with his mother's boyfriend while she had a night out with her sister. She is told Jaden had an accident and he was hospitalised. Only she found out this wasn't true the next day and that he was missing. Due to inconsistent stories and witness statements, police have their suspect, but they've never been able to convict him. And now, 20 years later, Jaden's murder remains unsolved. And this is a listener suggestion from Marianne and Camille, so thank you. Belinda Murphy had a troubled family life. Her father was often drunk and violent, and her mother, she would frequently throw him out, only to take him back soon after. Belinda has a sister who was older than her by 3 years, Katie. While these sisters were close, there was a strong sibling rivalry between them. Belinda was the younger and prettier one, while Katie had the freedom and independence that Belinda craved. When Katie was 16 years old, she brings home a new boyfriend, Brett Leskey. The two soon move in together. It is not the healthiest of relationships, though. There is a lot of jealousy and makeups and breakups, so no one's surprised when 5 weeks after Katie moves into Brett's parents' house, they break up. Not long after that, the two get back together briefly for a weekend away, but that doesn't last. And Katie, she comes back from this weekend away pregnant, but the baby isn't Brett's. Still, she leads him to believe that the baby is his, something that causes further conflict between the sisters. But Brett does what he believes is the right thing, and he proposed to Katie. Although Brett isn't the innocent party here, he was facing jail term after allegedly stealing some checks from his boss. In court, he pleads to the judge that he has this new family to support and he is let off with a good behaviour bond.
It was around June 1993, so we're talking less than a year after Brett and Katie were married, that Belinda moved in with the young family. This caused some more problems in the marriage, mainly because Katie believed that Brett and Belinda were having an affair, and that's a pretty big problem. In the end, the marriage did fall apart. In total, Katie and Brett were married somewhere between 8 months to a year. Reports on this vary depending on which article you read. But they were married long enough for Katie to get pregnant again, this time with Brett. Contrary to what some people think, more children doesn't actually make an easier time in your marriage. So instead of bringing the couple together, from what I've read, this drove them further apart. Just a few months after Katie and Brett separated, Belinda and Brett started a relationship. A year later, they had a daughter, Brianna. Then on April 30th, 1996, Jaden Raymond Leskey is born. The two siblings were super close and they happily amused each other. Just before Jaden's first birthday, Belinda and Brett's relationship deteriorated. Katie played a part in the split because Belinda believed that Brett was still in love with Katie. So the sibling rivalry into their relationships with Brett continued. A large part of this is that Brett refused to marry Belinda even as their family grew, yet he had been happy to marry Katie when she was pregnant. For her part, Katie did nothing to reassure Belinda otherwise. During this time, Brett was working with a man named Greg Domasavich, and the two did not get along. They clashed regularly. Brett thought Greg was lazy and didn't work enough, but Belinda didn't share this dislike. She and Greg were growing closer. Belinda was attracted to the fact that Greg was interested in her children, in particular Jaden. He played with him, he taught him things when he was working on cars. Not long after Brett and Belinda broke up, Belinda and Greg started a relationship.
It's interesting, from what I've read, Greg didn't have much of an interest in Brianna. It seemed that he was trying to push Belinda into giving custody of Brianna to Brett.
Right, his interest was just with Jaden.
Now, Greg was known as a practical joker. One night, he had gone to Belinda's place when she was having a party, and he set off firecrackers outside the front door. Now, of course, everyone runs outside, not knowing what the noise was, what's going on, and there they find Brett just standing there, laughing like a maniac. But then the joke started to become nasty. One night, someone broke into Belinda's house and swapped her children in their beds. Now, Greg was adamant that it wasn't him and that he wanted Belinda to call the police. Most people thought it sounded like something Greg would do, but Belinda believed that it was Greg's ex-girlfriend Yvonne, who Belinda didn't get along with. And she had good reason to suspect this because just before this happened, she got a phone call from Yvonne telling her that she should check the children. Friends also claimed Greg had killed feral cats that he caught. Allegedly, he'd put them in Hessian bags and set them alight. He would also break into Belinda's house using a spare key and wearing a balaclava. He would frighten Belinda first before taking Jaden from his cot and force-feeding him until he threw up. Greg also had a preoccupation with aliens. He had posters depicting UFOs and alien figures. He would also make strange delusional statements like he had to eat sausage rolls because aliens didn't like sausage rolls, so in that case they wouldn't abduct him. He also said he thought an undercover agent was after him and he had to find a way to leave for America. Now, what he actually believed was true and what he was making up purely for shock value, we don't know. It's never been made clear. Although some believe Greg's eccentric behaviour had something to do with the fact that he was an extremely heavy marijuana smoker, and there were rumours that he was into much heavier illegal drugs, and not only just using them, but also small-time dealing. Again, this has never been confirmed, and no charges have ever been made, so we can only speculate what's true and what's small-town rumours.
Now, Jaden was a particularly unsettled child. Belinda would take him to doctors to see if there was anything wrong and if there was a reason for this constant crying, but they couldn't find anything medically wrong with him. He was a good feeder and he was meeting all of his milestones. It was just one of those unknown baby things.
I mean, at 14 months old, it could have just been teething. That's quite common at that age.
Yeah, there are so many things that it could be that aren't medical issues. He could have just been one of those kids that gets overstimulated easily. But we're talking about a young single mom here. She had two children. One was crying a lot, so she was overwhelmed. And it became a relief for Belinda when Greg started offering to take Jaden in April of 1997. At first, he would only take him for a few hours, but it soon increased to almost entire days. The problem was, whenever Jaden would come back from staying with Greg, he wouldn't cry at all for days, which sounds like a relief, but we're talking the other extreme. He would sleep most of the day, most of the night, and for a child who never seemed like he could get enough to eat, he wouldn't even eat. The thing is, Greg's temper was short, and he couldn't handle Jaden's crying either. According to friends, they reported seeing Greg push Jaden onto his back a few occasions, and he would hit his head, which would cause him to cry even harder. Then Greg would leave the room to escape the noise. Now, leaving a room when you're getting frustrated with a screaming kid isn't a bad idea, but you put them in a crib or a playpen, somewhere they won't get hurt being unsupervised for a little while, and then you come back in a minute once you've calmed down. But the impression I've got with this is that Greg would just leave the room and not come back for quite some time, leaving Jaden unsupervised and screaming. Other times he would turn the stereo up loud and push Jaden close to the speakers, or he would dangle the baby above his dogs and would encourage them to snap at Jaden. It got to the point that it would not be unusual for Jaden to come home from visits with Greg with cuts or bruises to his face and body. But Greg wasn't the only one. Belinda, too, acted out on Jaden when he was crying. One night, she lashed out and she kicked him, getting him in the arm. Greg would threaten Belinda that if she ever reported him to the police, she would be reported to the Department of Community Services, which is the Australian version of Child Services, and they might take Jaden away from her. So she would keep quiet and keep Jaden at home until the injuries faded.
Before we get further into the story, a word about one of our sponsors this week, Warby Parker.
I recently got an updated eye prescription after, well, let's not talk about how long it's been. I stared blankly at the walls of glasses in my eye doctor's office. I needed some help. Enter Warby Parker. The free home try-on program sends you 5 pairs to try on for 5 days with no obligation to buy. I went through their website to narrow down the selection to what I was looking for, and then I selected my 5 pairs. They sent me the frame so I could try them on, show them to my loved ones who have to stare at me all day, and take some time making the decisions. The quality was fantastic. Warby Parker makes buying glasses online easy and risk-free. The shipping is free, and it includes a prepaid return shipping label. It seriously couldn't be easier. Have an iPhone X? Make sure to download Warby Parker's app where you can use their brand new feature, Find Your Fit. Find Your Fit uses the iPhone X's True Depth camera to map and measure key facial features. Using these measurements, Find Your Fit recommends approximately 12 Warby Parker frames that are likely to be the best fit for your face. The process is seamless and takes only a few seconds. Glasses start at $95, including prescription lenses that include anti-glare and anti-scratch coatings. And every pair you buy, a pair is distributed to someone in need. Want to order your own free home try-on frames? Head over to warbyparker.com/insight. That's warbyparker.com/insight.
And that brings us to the events of Saturday, June 14, 1997. On this day, Belinda had planned a big night out with her sister, Katie. She'd been invited to Katie's boyfriend's birthday party. And the plan was that the party would start in the afternoon and then kick on until the pub closed in the early hours of the morning. Both Belinda and Katie had arranged for their regular babysitter, Julie Brassington, to mind Jaden and Brianna, as well as Katie's 2 children. While they're getting ready to leave, Greg arrives and he asks if he could watch Jaden for the afternoon. Now, this was strange and out of character, as what he'd normally do would be to phone to ask to take the toddler. And Belinda was fine with Greg taking Jaden because they had problems with Julie in the past. There was one occasion where Jaden had gotten shampoo in his eyes and Julie called the ambulance for help. Before leaving, Belinda baths Jaden and puts a diaper on him. She dresses him in his grey tracksuit pants that have the words Baby Games written on them. He was wearing a green long-sleeved shirt, a blue-green windbreaker with a hood, and another red jacket on top of that. In his bag, Belinda packs 4 more diapers, some warmer clothes, a clear plastic baby bottle, an apple, a lollipop, and a muesli bar. Belinda originally wanted Greg to keep Jaden overnight, but he didn't want to. He had plans with one of his friends. It was something that they didn't agree with, but Greg was going to drop Jaden back with the babysitter later that afternoon or early evening. Belinda buckles Jaden into Greg's car. She kisses him and waves goodbye. This would be the last time she would see her son alive.
Greg tells the story that the afternoon was him and Jaden just hanging out, kind of like father and son. Greg and a friend have an argument on the phone later over a rumor that Katie had spread that Greg wanted to kill his friend. And then at about 4 p.m., Greg and Belinda have their own fight over this via the telephone. But that wasn't all that Greg wanted to discuss with her. Greg told Belinda that Jaden had fallen over in the backyard while playing with the dogs, but he had cleaned him up and he was totally fine. Late in the afternoon, a neighbor of Greg's heard him scream. He said it wasn't something like he had ever heard before. The neighbor said he then saw Greg outside in the rain and hosing off his driveway. Another of Greg's friends tried to contact him over the phone 3 or 4 times that weekend, but each time the phone just rang. They had plans for the afternoon, so he drove to Greg's place, but when he didn't see Greg's car there, he just left. No one heard from Greg again until that evening when he called the babysitter Julie to find out where Belinda was. Belinda had already left for the party, and the conversation was left at that. Later, Belinda tried to call Greg up to 30 times at his house between 5:30 and 7:45, but like with Greg's friend, the phone just kept ringing. This was unusual that he wouldn't be in contact when he had Jaden, so of course she started to worry, but she soon relaxed because, of course, Jaden would be fine, he was with Greg, and she continued to enjoy her night out. Now, it might sound odd that Belinda, knowing Greg has left bruises on Jaden in the past, would continue to leave her son with him, and that she would assume everything is fine. But this is something we see in parents who were raised in homes where this form of discipline was normal. This is just how things are done. It would be much more alarming to someone who wasn't raised this way to see bruises on their child.
And we know that Belinda's father was abusive, and I guess she's used to seeing that cycle.
Yeah, it doesn't excuse things. A lot of people from similar backgrounds learn new parenting methods with their own children, but some don't. Regardless of why Belinda left Jaden, Greg didn't answer his phone that night, and despite not answering his phone, Greg claimed he was home all evening. He had watched TV, and he played video games with Jaden. He said he doesn't remember clearly, but he also may have smoked pot when Jaden fell asleep.
At about 10 o'clock, Greg calls his next-door neighbor, Mary Ann, to see if she had any diapers because he was running out. She didn't, but she told him her husband could come over and show him how to make one out of a folded towel, but he declined the offer. This same neighbor later reported to police that during this phone call, she thought she heard Jaden and a dog playing in the background. Back at the party, Belinda calls Greg again to check on Jaden. It's about 10 past 11 at this point, and Greg answers the phone. He tells her that Jaden had fallen backwards against a radiator and he'd burnt his bottom. But Greg, he'd taken him to the hospital and the nurses applied cream, but he tells Belinda that he wasn't happy with that and that Jaden still seemed distressed. So he takes the toddler to another hospital and they decided to hold Jaden overnight to make sure that the burns responded to the treatment. Belinda is, of course, upset, and she tells him she wants to come home and she wants to go to the hospital to be with Jaden. Greg reassures her that Jaden is fine now, that he's happy and safe and he's being treated, and there really wasn't anything else she could do at this point. And besides, it wasn't even that bad. There wasn't blisters and Jaden didn't seem to be in any pain. This seems to calm Belinda down, and she agrees to stay at the party a bit longer. A neighbour of Belinda's, a woman named Kim, she went to the bathroom about 12:30 a.m. She claims she hears what she believes is Greg's car near Belinda's house. Kim wanted to see what was happening because it was uncommon for cars to come and go at that hour. It's a country town and people didn't drive around at night. So she looked out of her window and she sees Greg's green Falcon parked out the front of Belinda's house.
At about 1 a.m., Greg's next door neighbor, Mary Ann, was still awake and using her computer, which is me pretty much every night. She heard Greg's car in his driveway and she was certain it was Greg's car. First, the sound was coming from the direction of his house. And second, she knew cars and it sounded like the type of engine he had. By 1:30 a.m., Belinda was so drunk that the pub had stopped serving her and her sister. However, it wasn't until 2 a.m. that Belinda agreed it was time to call Greg and have him come and get her. Even though he hadn't answered the phone earlier in the evening, and he answered the phone this time, about 15 minutes after she called, he left to go get her. When Belinda got in the car, Jaden wasn't in the car with him. She repeatedly asked Greg where her son was, obviously. Greg finally told her that Jaden was in the hospital still and pointed out an unfinished hospital as they passed on the way home. But Belinda was really drunk. She was too intoxicated to question this further, and they continued back to Greg's house. When they got there, they noticed the front windows of Greg's house were smashed and there was broken glass all over the front porch. Nothing seemed to be disturbed or stolen inside. Belinda immediately blamed Greg's ex-girlfriend, but Greg brushed off the suggestion. By this stage, it's 3 a.m. Belinda sat on the couch while Greg continued to frantically search the house, but for reasons Belinda didn't understand.
And I think for reasons that may become clear later on.
After about 10 minutes of this, Greg decided it would be better if Belinda was at her house. Belinda insisted they stay there and that they should report the broken windows to the police, but Greg refused and just thought it was best to take her home.
As they are leaving, they noticed something in the gravel garden bed. When they take a closer look, it's a severed pig's head. Now, both later report that they didn't notice this when they got to Greg's house, but I imagine they were distracted. I mean, Belinda was really drunk and Greg seemed preoccupied, so I think there was a good chance that they probably missed it. But they didn't stop to investigate further. They simply left for Belinda's house. So Greg drops Belinda off at home. He doesn't come in. Instead, he says that he wants to find out who damaged his house and he leaves. Belinda phones the babysitter to check in on Brianna and passes out on the couch. It's about 3:30 a.m. at this point. What must have been soon after Greg drops Belinda home, police pull over Greg's car. There wasn't anything he did wrong in particular. It was just quiet and they were bored. As I said, cars weren't driving around at that time of night. Police later report that they knew Greg and his demeanour that night wasn't typical of how he would normally act. Instead of being cocky and self-assured, he was quiet and compliant. Interestingly, before they let him go, Greg does not mention the damage to his house or the missing child. Before we get further into what happened to Jaden, a word from another sponsor this week, Canvas People. CanvasPeople.com has a very easy-to-use photo-to-canvas service that takes your favourite photo memories and turns them into beautiful artwork for you to enjoy every day. Instead of snapping that beautiful photo and let it rot in your cell phone, you can bring that photo to life, put it on your walls at home, in your office, or give it as a great gift. Have you ever had that photo that you wanted to display in that unique way? Maybe it's a wedding photo or one of your whole family on that holiday. I know that I have photos of my children as babies that just look that little more personal displayed on canvas. And you can buy with confidence with over 1 million customers served. You can get high quality canvas made in the US with fast shipping and great attention to detail. And canvaspeople.com has a special deal just for Insight listeners. And you can get an 11 by 14 canvas that is priced normally for $69.99 for free. Just pay shipping. Just use Insight at checkout. That's canvaspeople.com and use Insight at checkout.
Now we're at an hour and a half after being pulled over by the police, so we're at 5 a.m. This has been a very long night. So at 5 a.m., Belinda was woken up by several hand slaps across her face by Greg. He told her that he had lied to her, that Jaden wasn't in the hospital, and that he was in fact missing. He says he only left him alone for 5 minutes and that he doesn't know where the toddler is. The couple left and drove to the Mo police station to report Jaden missing. The officers were immediately confused at the couple's very different stories as to what happened. Two people come in together to report the same child missing, but have different stories. And then, if that wasn't suspicious enough, the stories they were giving kept changing the more they were repeated. So the police separated Belinda and Greg so that they couldn't have time to align their stories. Two officers dispatched to Greg's home to start the investigation. Generally, what happens in an abduction scenario is the special response squad is called, just in case there's a ransom. With Jaden's disappearance, though, that wasn't the case. All they had to work with were very different stories from Belinda and Greg that didn't make much sense. But the investigators knew they would need additional help, so by 8 a.m., the homicide squad was called to the scene. Now, this doesn't mean they were already pursuing this as a homicide. They just needed the extra help with the investigation. At this stage, it was still less than 12 hours since Jaden went missing, and they were still hopeful they would find Jaden alive. It's not unheard of for toddlers to wander off.
And investigators were becoming increasingly frustrated by Belinda's behavior. They later state her mood changed from being more concerned about going home and getting some sleep than finding her son. But as we've said in other episodes, like with Lindy Chamberlain and Ben Needham, You know that we have talked about at length about how you really can't judge someone, especially a parent, by their reactions. Here we're talking about a woman who had been awake throughout the night. She still had the effects of alcohol wearing off, and she had no idea what happened to her son. And what she thought happened to her son, it hadn't, so she would have been confused and possibly in shock. Regardless, police did consider Belinda a suspect in Jaden's disappearance in the early days of the investigation. Belinda gave two statements in the 16 hours she was at the police station. One brief statement while she was still drunk and on less than 1 hour's sleep, and a second, more lengthier, detailed statement when she had sobered up or was in the process of sobering up. They also suspected Greg. He was the person they mostly suspected knew where Jaden was and what happened to him, but they had nothing to charge him with. They decided the best course of action was to simply let him go and follow him discreetly. They thought there was a chance that if he had Jaden, he could lead them to where the toddler was, or if he had tried to dispose of the body, they would be able to find him. Police quickly examined Greg's car. They knew they couldn't hold that longer either because they had nothing to tie it to a crime of any sort at this stage. So with the use of portable lights, officers tried to search the car as best they could, looking for evidence of Jaden. And then at 2:30 a.m., Greg left the police station.
The following day, Greg visited with his friend Darren. This is the friend he was supposed to meet the day before. Greg told Darren that he was concerned the police would find some items that would point to his guilt, like a small stash of marijuana he kept and a pair of jeans with blood on them. But it wasn't just anybody's blood, it was Jaden's blood. He told Darren that this is when Jaden had a mouth ulcer and it was bleeding, and he had used his jeans to clean him up. However, later he told Darren's partner the blood was from cleaning up a cut on Jaden's lip. As for the police investigation at this point, it was at a standstill. They had no other suspect except for Greg, and they had nothing tying him to the disappearance. Still, the search increased to 30 uniformed officers and an additional 20 state emergency service volunteers that looked through pastures and bushland that surrounded Greg's home. By the end of the investigation, the search for Jaden Leskey would be the largest missing person search since Harold Holt in 1967, some 30 years prior. And for those who aren't aware of who Harold Holt was, he was the Prime Minister of Australia when he disappeared while out for a swim, and his body was never recovered.
Greg's house was immediately considered a crime scene. Police were confused at the pig's head, and from the start, they weren't sure if the two were actually connected, especially considering there was no evidence that someone actually entered Greg's house. The breaks in the windows weren't big enough for someone to actually climb into the house without cutting and injuring themselves, but there was no dirt inside and none of the furniture was disturbed and there was no blood. No one else even had a key to Greg's house to get in, and that's the only possible way someone could. Specialist forensic experts continued to examine the house. They dusted for fingerprints and used luminol to test for blood residue. However, the only blood they could find was dog's blood, except for one place. They searched Greg's garbage bin and they find a plastic bag with 5 bloody tissues inside. Now, the blood was tested and it came back a match for Jaden. The tissues were also twisted at the ends, kind of like how they would be if the tissue was used to stop some bleeding to the ears or to the nose. Police also find $600 in cash under Greg's mattress. The strange factor here was the money was all wet and been laid out separately as though it was being dried out. When police were examining Greg's car the night before, they found Greg's jacket with his wallet inside, also drenched with water. And not just like he happened to drop it in the sink or in a puddle or anything like that. It looked like it had been immersed in water for some time because the business cards that were also in his wallet, the printing had all run together.
At Belinda's insistence that she was involved, police looked into Greg's ex-girlfriend, Yvonne, and her role. They didn't feel like she was involved in Jaden's disappearance, more so the vandalism to Greg's house. Again, this was mainly based on the lack of evidence that someone had broken into Greg's house to take Jaden. Like Allie said, no one else had a key, including Yvonne, and she would have had to have broken in. There was no signs of a break-in. Yvonne and Greg had had a short, passionate, but controlling and abusive relationship that ended either just before or possibly during his and Belinda's relationship. And I say during because there's some mention in the book about Jaden Lesky's case that Greg continued both relationships for a while. And the book is called The Jaden Lesky Murder by Michael Gleason. And as always, we'll put up links in the Facebook group and on the website for that book. Greg claimed that Yvonne was his true love and he wanted to have children with her, even offering her money to do so. But on the other hand, Belinda already had that with Jaden, and Greg allegedly enjoyed playing the father role. So both relationships were important to him in this fantasy he had of being a father. As we've seen in this episode already, this fantasy didn't necessarily translate to reality. He seemed to enjoy the father role at times, but it's debatable how much he enjoyed the whole of it, considering the reports on his behavior when Jaden was in his care and when Jaden needed attention or affection from him.
As you said, he may have liked the idea of the father role, but in reality, with the day-to-day stuff, like the discipline and the dealing with the crying and changing of diapers, it's not how it is in a fantasy-type situation. So I don't think he realized what it actually was like in reality.
The controlling and abusive nature of Yvonne and Greg's relationship didn't go down well with Yvonne's brother, Kenny. And on Friday, June 13th, the day before Jaden disappeared, Kenny planned his revenge on Greg. He and a couple of his friends killed a pig, and they cut its head off. After that, the plan was fairly simple. They would smash the windows of Greg's car and put the pig's head in the letterbox. The plan changed when they got there. Around 2 a.m. when they arrived, Greg and his car were gone. So they got small stones and threw them at the windows of the house instead, taking a few attempts before the windows would smash. Then the pig's head wouldn't fit in the letterbox either, so they threw that at the window. They thought it went through, but as we know, it didn't. It had landed in the gravel garden bed and was later discovered by Belinda and Greg. They later report to the police that they do not remember seeing a small child or hearing one cry when they were at the house.
By Tuesday, the search had increased to 60 police and volunteers, and because of the wet jacket, wallet, and money, the search had become increasingly focused on local ponds and lakes within a 15-kilometre or 9-mile radius of Greg's house. Greg was the only suspect they had, the only one that really made sense, and they were determined to find the evidence to link him to the toddler's disappearance. It wouldn't be until 2 days later, and after much intense media scrutiny, which if you search Jaden Lesky on YouTube, you'll see just how much media attention this case got. And quite fairly too. Here is a happy, healthy 14-month-old toddler that has gone missing without a trace. And there was strange vandalism, and there was a severed pig's head left behind. It was always going to capture the public's interest. But on Thursday, June 19, Greg and his lawyer go back to the police station to be interviewed as an official suspect in Jaden's disappearance. Greg runs through his relationship with Jaden, saying he was basically his babysitter, and he plays down his romantic relationship with Belinda. He then talks about the afternoon and evening with Jaden prior to his disappearance.
Greg explained that Jaden did burn himself on the radiator by standing too close to it, but it was nothing serious and Jaden didn't even cry. He said that Jaden was asleep at his house when he left to go get Belinda from the pub. He claimed he had never left Jaden before, but this time he decided it was really late. Jaden was asleep and he knew he wasn't going to wake up and he didn't want to disturb him. He said he told Belinda that Jaden was at the hospital because he just wanted her to go home and go to sleep. I'm really kind of confused by that. Just telling her, oh, he's sleeping peacefully is one thing. Telling her that her son's in the hospital, I don't know why he thought that would get her to go to sleep.
Yeah, I know. As a parent, I'd still be worked up. I'd have a lot of questions, and I definitely would want to go to the hospital and see my child.
Absolutely. He said he had a moment of unease when he got home with Belinda and saw the house damaged, and that's when he went looking for Jaden and couldn't find him. He He said that when he wasn't where he had left him, Greg went looking in cupboards and under the furniture, thinking that maybe Jaden did wake up. And when he couldn't find Greg or Belinda there, he got scared and he hid somewhere and possibly fell back asleep. He said he didn't tell Belinda because he didn't want to worry her. Yet he didn't think anything of telling Belinda that Jaden was in the hospital, but whatever. Like investigators, I find the story confusing. Greg claimed he didn't want Belinda to know that Jaden was missing because he figured he could probably find him, because how far could a 14-month-old have gone? It wasn't until he took Belinda home and went back to continue to look for Jaden that he realized the bag Belinda had packed was also missing. He said he then called Yvonne, thinking maybe she was involved. He even went to her house to look around and make sure she definitely did not have the toddler.
He also said that he definitely did not leave the house from the moment he took Jaden to his home until he went to pick up Belinda in the early hours of the morning. He said that he simply did not hear his phone ring and that his neighbour must have been mistaken when they reported his car leaving the house. He admitted that there may be tissues with Jaden's blood in the garbage and that he had told Belinda he had hurt himself with the dogs earlier that afternoon and that the blood was possibly from that. He couldn't remember exactly how Jaden hurt himself, but he denied ever acting out on Jaden with anger and aggression. As for the wet money and wallet, he explained that away as he actually didn't know why the money was wet, that he got the money from selling a boat and he had hidden the money for safekeeping. As for the wallet, he said he must have left his wallet on top of the car he was working on when it started to rain heavily on the day in question, and that he was wearing the jacket so that possibly got wet in the rain as well. Or maybe he had the wallet in his back pocket when he was lying under the car working on it and his butt got sweaty.
The following morning, Belinda was called in for an interview. She called Greg beforehand and asked him what she should say about the tissues that were found, and he told her to tell the truth. For the following 8 hours, police interviewed her about her version of the events leading up to and following her son's disappearance. The police received several tips that Greg regularly visited his father's grave at a cemetery that had a dump next to it, and that Greg knew the area well and may have disposed of the body there. 10 days after Jaden's disappearance, the search was again expanded. This time, local police, force response unit police, and hundreds of volunteers combed through the local dump. They would remain there for 13 days without success.
On Thursday, June 26, so Jaden has been missing for almost 2 weeks now, Brianna is removed from Belinda's care and sole custody is given to her father, Brett Leskey, who is now living in Western Australia for work. It was the belief from social workers that with the suspicion that was placed on Greg, who was still very much a part of Belinda's life at this stage, that Brianna would be better off away from the media scrutiny and the chaos that surrounded all of that. The same day, Greg's car was finally seized by police and taken away for forensic examination. And this is when the investigation steps up a notch. Companies started donating their state-of-the-art equipment to help look for Jaden. One of these was a thermal imaging camera worth about $100,000 that could be attached to a helicopter. And that really helped in looking around the dump and the bushland areas. But again, no sign of Jaden was found.
By July 1st, 3 weeks after Jaden's disappearance, police publicly announced that this was officially a homicide investigation. It was considered very unlikely, if not impossible, to find Jaden alive at this point. But without Jaden's remains, it would be difficult to secure a conviction of his killer. By July 4th, the search for Jaden Leskey was officially called off. It would take a month from when Jaden was last seen with Greg for the police to feel confident enough with the evidence they had to charge Greg with murder. First, though, they wanted to conduct another more thorough search of Greg's home just to make sure they didn't miss anything in their initial searches, but they found no additional evidence. Regardless, they decided to proceed. On July 16th, at about 2:15 p.m., investigators officially arrested and charged Greg. He was interviewed again, however, he refused to answer questions. He, of course, applied for bail. His lawyers argued that the only evidence investigators had was some circumstantial at best evidence, and the case against him was weak. However, the bail application was refused.
And now a word from our last sponsor this week, Casper.
Like everything else in my life, I spent a ridiculous amount of time researching mattresses before choosing Casper. The 20,000 reviews with an average of 4.8 stars over Casper's website, Amazon, and Google reviews, that certainly weighed into my decision. But most of all, you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep-on-it trial. The mattress came delivered to my door in a box I was sure could not hold a mattress. We opened the box up, and the mattress reached its full size in minutes, so I highly recommend you unbox your Casper mattress in your bedroom. Casper brand mattresses can buy multiple supportive memory foams for quality sleep with just the right sink and just the right bounce. You know, I just had a baby, so sleep is at a premium around here. You may not know that I'm actually closer to 40 than I am to 30, so waking up refreshed without the feeling of the previous day's lower back strain is amazing. I'm also a hot sleeper. But Casper's breathable design lets me sleep cool, and I'm not waking up because I'm overheating. Casper offers affordable prices by cutting out the middleman and selling directly to the customer. Shipping and returns are free in the U.S. and Canada. Start sleeping ahead of the curve with Casper. Get $50 toward any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/insight and using insight at checkout. That's $50 towards any mattress purchase at casper.com/insight, promo code insight. Terms and conditions apply.
On July 1st of 1998, a 14-year-old boy is out celebrating New Year's Day with his family by having a picnic at Blue Rock Dam. Now, being a teenager, he got bored hanging out with his family and decided to go for a walk. He's walking alongside the dam when he notices something floating in the water. At first, he thinks it's a pillow by the shape and moves closer to see better. That's when he realizes that this isn't a pillow, but a body of a toddler. So the boy runs back to get his grandmother, who was walking close by. Now, his grandmother thinks that the boy is joking at first, but she soon sees that he isn't. In something that broke my heart even more to read, she sent the boy back to get his parents to call the police while she stayed with the toddler's remains because she didn't want to leave him alone any longer. The investigating officers wanted this done right. They arranged for a forensic pathologist to go to the dam and a search and rescue team to be on site. Even though the body was close to the edge of the dam, it was badly decomposed at this point, and a search and rescue team had the equipment to get down the steep dam bank and retrieve the body with as much care as the little boy deserved. Because the cold water preserved the body, and if there was any doubt, it was immediately obvious to investigators they were looking at the remains of Jaden Lesky.
The dam was now a crime scene. The police had expert divers searching the dam the following day. Because the water was murky and the motion of swimming only stirred up the dirt on the dam bed even more, going over the dam was a long and slow process. But eventually, one of the divers found a pink sleeping bag with a crowbar attached to it. They found a white plastic bag that had inside it a baby's bottle, an apple, a bib, a pair of tracksuit pants with the words "winner of baby games" written down the leg. These were the things that Belinda packed for Jaden when she sent him with Greg on the day he disappeared. An autopsy was conducted, and it revealed that Jaden had a broken left arm that had been bandaged from elbow to wrist with elastic-type bandage covered with tape. It was also determined that the arm would have been broken soon before his death because there was no evidence that the bone had started healing.
And apparently that starts pretty quickly after the break happens.
Yeah, you can generally see it on the x-ray within a day or two. He also had a fractured skull, and the full extent of the injuries this would have caused to Jaden's brain was difficult to determine due to the level of decomposition, but the type of fracture it was would normally be associated with severe brain injury. The fracture was typical to that caused by a direct blow to the head. In Jaden's liver was the drug Benzexol, and Benzexol is a drug that's traditionally used for the treatment of Parkinson's disease, and it also counteracts the side effects caused by major tranquilizers. Recreationally, it's used as an upper. It gives a euphoric effect. Due to the state of the body, a natural cause of death like an epileptic seizure or asthma attack could not be entirely ruled out. But Jaden had no history of either of those conditions or any other underlying health problem. The cause of death was most likely the same action that led to the skull fracture. Whether it was purposeful or an accident, it would have been a quick death due to the extent of the injury. However, the coroner could not confidently assess if the skull fracture happened before or after the death.
The murder trial commenced on October 12. Greg, of course, pleaded not guilty. By this stage, Greg had been in jail for almost 15 months, which is longer than Jaden had been alive. The defense worked at putting doubt in the jury's mind and tried to plant the idea of an alternative killer. They also used the fact that the pig's head had been thrown and windows smashed as evidence that someone else was definitely there that night and maybe they could be involved. The prosecution focused on the vandalism being an unfortunate coincidence, that regardless of the pig's head and the broken windows, no one was able to enter the house without a key and Greg was the only one with the key. And yes, while the evidence was circumstantial, there was a lot of it, and that circumstantial evidence was the norm in murder trials. The strongest argument the prosecution had was Greg's actions and the forensic evidence, and his history of mistreatment of Jaden and the prior assault charges. One of the witnesses for the prosecution testified that the crowbar that was found with Jaden's belongings was his. He said that he had his tools at Greg's in the week leading up to Jaden's disappearance, but some of his tools went missing. And when he asked Greg for his tools back, Greg told him that they were in his car, but the police had impounded the car at the police station. Eventually, when he got his tools back, the only tool missing was his crowbar, and he identified the crowbar in the dam as his own.
The defense countered this with the fact that there were cigarette butts in an ashtray in Greg's house, and because Greg didn't smoke cigarettes, they couldn't be his. But he did have an ashtray, so I don't know where they were going with this, that they couldn't have been there from a previous time.
I think their argument was that he did smoke marijuana, but you don't need to smoke marijuana in cigarette form, and maybe it was from a marijuana pipe that he needed the ashtray for. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, I see. I can see that. So they were saying basically that the cigarette butts would have had to have been from the person who abducted Jaden.
That's a bit of a reach, I think, because, I mean, abducting a toddler when you don't know how long someone's going to be out of the house for, I don't think you sit down for a smoke.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I guess they had to do what they had to do to argue this. But they also argued that a police officer drove Greg's car within an hour of Greg and Belinda arriving at the police station, and therefore any forensic investigation done on the car afterwards was at least partially contaminated. The trial ended December 1st, 8 weeks after it started, and the jury was split. They came back looking for further explanation in two factors. The first, they wanted further clarification as to who was with the gang or was thought to be with the gang involved in the pig's head incident, and whether or not one of Greg's friends was there. The second request was a finer definition of reasonable doubt. And this led to the thinking that maybe the jury was considering manslaughter instead of murder. After 4 days, word came through that the jury had reached their decision. The jury found that Greg Domasevich was not guilty of murder and not guilty of manslaughter. He was free to leave the courthouse, cleared of all charges for the death of Jaden Lesky.
Unfortunately, in the Victorian criminal justice system, a verdict of not guilty means the case is passed on to the coroner. And in turn, the coroner will read the transcript from the criminal trial, they will look at the evidence and make a judgment on whether the case needs further investigation or if there needs to be an inquest held. In this case, initially, the coroner decided that nothing else needed to be done. There was no other viable suspects or conclusive evidence that could justify a further investigation. So an open finding was passed down that Jaden was killed by person or persons unknown. After much protest by everyone involved, including Greg, on November 17, 2003, a public coronial inquest was opened. And what evidence was considered was the relevance of an anonymous female DNA that they found on Jaden's bib and track pants that they found in the dam, Jaden's age at the time of death, and whether he would have likely lived on after his disappearance, why there would have been the drugs in his system, and where could they have come from. Allegedly, Greg told some prisoners when he was on remand that he had killed Jaden accidentally. The prisoners were never asked to testify at the original trial, but they were in the inquest. And evidence from two new witnesses that came forward, one claimed to have seen Greg's car near Blue Rock Dam on the night Jaden disappeared, and the second was a child protection worker who was Brianna's case officer, and she'd never reported three incidents of abuse on Jaden while he was in Greg's care.
This was all considered and weighed. The final coronial findings were released October 4th, 2006. It found that due to the weight of the evidence that Greg Domasevich threw Jaden into Blue Rock Dam, he might not have been the one that actually physically killed him, though. There was no actual evidence to say that is what happened, but that he did dispose of the body. And because he was in charge of caring for Jaden that day, that means he was responsible regardless of how Jaden actually died. Belinda, too, was deemed responsible because she had failed the first basic rule of parenting: you care and protect your child. She left Jaden with Greg, who had a previous history of at least one significant incident of harming the toddler that she knew of, and likely others that she suspected. For his part, Greg did not comment on the coroner's findings. He also did not challenge it before it was published. He never really cooperated with the inquest on the advice of his lawyers, who publicly claimed that the inquest had been designed for the sole purpose of incriminating him.
Greg struggled to live a normal life after this. He moved interstate, but he was later embroiled in telephone conversations with underworld figures who were being investigated for murders of other drug dealers. Belinda stayed in Mo after the trial, and she gave birth to another child, Caleb Aiden, on July 17, 2000. She married the father to this child in late 2001 and won back custody of Brianna soon after the trial ended. She also gave birth to a fourth child, another boy, who she named Corin, not long after.
So I watched a news thing about that wiretap that Greg got caught on with that other case with the underworld. And in that tape, someone said something to Greg about dropping a car on a child. And Greg replied, "Oh, that wasn't murder. That's an accidental death." And this was kind of in the context of him having abused Jaden already. They didn't say Jaden's name. His lawyer saying you can listen, you can read it multiple ways. But that with the jailhouse informants who said that Greg claimed he accidentally killed the child, I think that's probably a strong possibility. He was known to have Jaden out with him when he worked on his car. Is that how, you know, Jaden broke his arm? Maybe he gave him the medication to stop him from crying. Maybe he just kept crying and Greg lost his temper. I mean, I think there are multiple things. I don't think I could convict on murder because I do think it's possible it was an accident and it would be more like manslaughter.
The car dropping on Jaden would be consistent with the injuries. And as you said, he may have given him the drug to try to calm the child down or try to make sure he wasn't moving around while he bandaged up his arm. As you said, like, I don't think there's anything there to convict him of murder, but I think the circumstantial evidence and with the different confessions he's made,
I really think one thing is the reason, and it's the Pigheads gang. I think that gave reasonable doubt. Had they come to his house pretty much any other night, I think Greg would have been convicted. I think it's because they were there that night that gave reasonable doubt.
Well, as the prosecution called it, it was an unfortunate coincidence. And I think, as you said, it was an unfortunate distraction from the evidence of the case.
And in Australia, we've talked about this in the Tim Hennis episode, that the US has pretty absolute double jeopardy laws, except if they can charge him in a different court system. If they find new compelling evidence, they can take him back to trial, can't they?
Exactly. If there's new compelling evidence, they can definitely try him again. And I think that I don't think the police or Belinda have given up that they will get answers one day. In 2007, the Victorian government launched a kit offering parents tips on choosing a safe babysitter. Some of this seems like common sense, but something that can be overlooked, the kit asks parents to think about things like whether their babysitter has a temper, drug or alcohol problems, if the babysitter knows how to comfort a child, and if they're mature and trustworthy. Okay, so some thank yous. Firstly, to our patrons on Patreon. Thank you to Megan B., Laura M., Katie M., Tracy J., and Holly T. Your support means everything. And then to our beautiful five-star reviews, thank you to Lava Roski and Duvalaki. I know that iTunes does not make it easy to leave reviews, but we really appreciate it. We are on Facebook. We have the page where we post all the episodes and discussion group where we discuss the episodes, documentaries, other podcasts we listen to, and post pictures of cute animals. We are on Twitter where you can chat to Charlie, and that's at InsightfulPod. I'm on Instagram, and that's at InsightPod. And we both respond to the emails insightfulpod@gmail.com. We have a PayPal for a one-off donation and a Patreon for an ongoing monthly donation. On Patreon, we have some great rewards from our patrons, like a monthly bonus episode, stickers, magnets, t-shirts. And we have a new reward coming next year that's all hush-hush at the moment, but it's very exciting. All links are on our website, InsightPod, and you can also listen to our episodes there and read our show notes and access some additional research if you want to read up some more on the cases we cover. And finally, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review and subscribe on iTunes or your favourite podcast app. And if you're able, please share this episode on social media. Both these things spread the word of our podcasts and helps us get bigger and bring more episodes to you in 2018.